So I will read the reading one more time, if the first time it didn't sink into you, because it's part of my sermon. Again, Exodus 3, 9 through 14. And now the cry of the Israelites had reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are pressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." This passage is about the famous story of Moses and the burning bush. So etched in our minds to this day as the place in the Bible where Moses meets or encounters God or the Sacred One, changing his life and the lives of the Jewish people forever. It is a time when Moses, who was once the prince of Egypt, after killing an Egyptian official, flees and came to live near Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, found most probably in the present-day Saudi Arabian Peninsula. When he encountered the burning bush, Moses was in hiding, rootless, as he was removed from all that was familiar to him, and also lonely, as he was living in exile after being chased out of Egypt. Out in the wilderness, Moses stumbles upon the mountain of God, which was traditionally considered the dwelling place for the divine. There, Moses encounters an inextinguishable burning bush, an icon of the divine, a window into God's presence where God reveals himself or herself or itself to Moses. God instructs Moses to remove the sandals from his feet, a gesture which is an ancient practice that honors the holiness of something and shows our deepest respect for that which is sacred. Removing shoes as a show of reverence is a practice still in use in Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and other Eastern religions. However, removing his sandals has a second significance. The Hebrews had rejected Moses as one of their own. The Egyptian Pharaoh wanted to kill him, and the Midianites, his wife's tribe, saw Moses as a foreigner, making Moses not fully home anywhere. Taking off one's sandals is also a gesture in many traditional cultures with entering not only a worship space, but also a home. Thus, here at Mount Sinai, as he encounters the sacred, Moses found a true home. Moses also found himself where he could hear his own sacred voice, his inner voice of truth, a voice that compelled Moses to liberate the suffering and enslaved Jewish people. But at first, Moses seems to conjure excuses to not confront the huge task of liberating his people, a task that he feels compelled to do, but also compelled in his humanity to avoid. So he begins this back and forth conversation, which in Shakespearean language is called a soliloquy or a conversation with self. Moses wanted to avoid going back to Pharaoh, lead the Israelites out of their miserable slavery in Egypt and travel to the promised land of Canaan or present-day Palestine and Israel. Moses resists his call by pleading his lack of skills and qualifications for accomplishing the task on hand. Just as it was with Moses, it is difficult for us as well to go to this sacred place, our innermost space where we can only hear or meet our own selves or the sacred. far away from all the distractions and the maddening crowd around us, to hear the true message where we will have the wisdom and the knowledge of what we have to and should do. You see, just like Moses, almost all of us avoid going to our inmost being. As individuals, churches, or other communities, all of us surround ourselves with the noises of activities just so that we can avoid what matters the most, meeting our own divinity, our truth, or our true purpose in life, because we are scared of it and how our lives will change and become unfamiliar once we hear and follow through. Don't you want to hear your own voice and truly experience the feeling of having come home? Don't you? So I'm inviting you to practice staying in the sacred place, introspecting, reflecting, having the important conversations with self or soliloquies, because the longer we stay, the easier it is to discern the voice of truth from the various other voices in our heads. That happens to most of us, right? It was supposed to be funny, but sometimes we start thinking we are going crazy, we have too many voices in our heads, but there is one voice we need to follow. The more we can hear the truth, yes, it will not be easy. Sometimes it will even be painful. But the truth is, the hardest thing in life is doing the right thing, no matter what. The guidance for which comes from deep within our souls, our innards, and the most sacred space within us. So we can respond to a higher calling, whether individually or as a community of faith like Bull Run UU Church. And to be able to hear our inner voice or voices, we must attempt to understand the experience of being a foreigner, an outsider. Most of you in this room are not foreigners or an outsider, but I am. In fact, I have always been the outsider most of my life. It may surprise you that though I was born and raised in India, I did not particularly grow up with strong ties to any given region, language, or religion. My father worked for the Bata Shoe Company and moved every couple of years to a new location and home, allowing us to experience firsthand what it is to live outside all that is familiar. Since India is a very diverse country with over 50 spoken languages, as many different food styles, ethnicities, religions, and one can quickly be made to feel like an outsider or a stranger, even in one's country of birth. Our every move did not allow any strong feelings of state, caste, creed, language, or even religious affinity to take root. The great positive of not having any strong social identifications or affinities is that one can belong just about anywhere. Even if we were strangers, we still learned to belong. By turning inward to that sacred space where I can hear the God within me and feel right at home here. As Henry David Thoreau said, what lies behind us and what lies ahead of us are tiny matters compared to what lives within us. Are you willing to allow yourself the feeling of being a bit of a stranger or an outsider in a crowd today so you could really befriend the truth within you? There are ample examples of people who, when dissociated from all that was familiar, was when they truly heard the inner voices of truth that led them to begin and organize the movements that changed the course of our world's history. Mahatma Gandhi was a trained lawyer from England, westernized and dressed in the finest Manchester tweed suits in his youth, and the cloth for that went from India, by the way, and England made money. They did the same to America, right? We are the same team, sort of. But it wasn't until he was thrown off a train by a white South African train ticket collector for traveling first class despite a valid ticket, only because he was brown, that Gandhi heard his inner voice. the voice of God calling him, when his unfamiliar surroundings would not allow him to belong. That was when he heard his purpose in life from God and went on to organize one of the greatest non-violent movements in history against the oppression and tyranny of the British rule in India. Even Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela learned greatly from him and used non-violent principles in their struggle against oppressive laws for the blacks in South Africa and in the U.S. By not separating ourselves from the myriad distractions that surround us daily, we are drowning out our own voices of truth within us. Our very own Emerson wrote, "Whenever a mind is simple and undistracted, it receives a divine wisdom." Emerson's daily practice of meditation and alone time endowed him with a vision of life that resonated with some of the greatest minds of his time and continues to reverberate even today. This practice will enable you to separate the unreal from the real and know that what you hear from within yourself is not to be doubted, but to be revealed to self and then to others. Though our first response is to doubt or to drown out the truth within us, because many a times we come up with umpteen excuses to not follow through, but we must persevere. As Emerson further said, though your views are in straight antagonism to theirs, assume an identity of sentiment. Assume that you are saying precisely that which all think, and in the flow of wit and love, roll out your paradoxes in solid column with not the infirmity of a doubt. So we must push forward and through these moments of doubt, because I'm sure doubt is the most common human experience that enables the negative voices and our own fears of people's or societal expectations or of what the unexpected would bring to us that prevents us from following through with the right action. And what is the right thing to do? Like Moses, IUU faith also calls us into reaching out to those who suffer and liberate them from the modern-day slavery of economic disparity, racism, bigotry, homelessness, hunger, or even a lack of cultural understanding or ignorance. It is time not to hide, but to reveal our inner voices, to reveal our encountering the God within. It is time to be a fool, the right kind of fool, one who is willing to take that leap of faith and act. In the process, becoming what and all we are meant to be. For I believe there lies within all of us the capacity to be the I am. As we are made in the image of the sacred, or as in Hebrew the translation is, Ehye Asher Ehye, or I will be all I will be. Walt Whitman called us to re-examine all that you have been told and dismiss that which insults your soul. Whenever we are told or we hear the lethal and hate-inciting messages around us, it is indeed insulting to all of my soul and our collective souls. Insulting and provoking every sense of my own truth and good sense. Sadly, though, the laws have been changed in this country and other parts of this world. The issue of discrimination continues to exist even to this day. Because the old mindset and the old ways to think and operate have come alive in the current atmosphere, which threatens the very foundation of democracy and justice with each passing day. The shootings and death of Indian immigrants in Kansas, or the attacks of Jewish community centers, Muslim places of worship, and other minority religious and ethnic groups across the country is alarming. It reminds us to continue working with this topic of promoting familiarity among various cultures, thus helping alleviate crimes birthed out of hate and misconceptions about other cultures because we see them as foreigners. Just like the young owner in the bar in Kansas made the right choice by standing up for the victims, we must too prepare to stand up for all those who stand exposed and as targets in an environment of hate. the very core of our Unitarian Universalist faith calls us to stand up to the injustices of hate crimes against immigrants or religious minorities or someone else who may be just as soft a target as possible in our country today, like Moses, rootless and needing to find a home here in the U.S. And remember, within this environment, Unitarian Universalists are also targets given the recent attacks on the UUA staff members. So we have to be careful. I know we feel safe. I'm not trying to make you feel unsafe. But just giving you the picture that we are the minority. Because come to think of it, Unitarian Universalism as a faith itself is a minority religion, as I said. So it is all the more important that we not only recognize our own individual voices, but also to organize all of our inner voices of truth and lend it into one unified force. So we can do something big to bring about the change that is needed today, so we could fight for all that is good and for the very freedom of our country, which in this atmosphere of hatred is grievously at stake. Remember, when we are deeply connected with our own selves and decide to do something about the wrongs around us that does not sit well with our soul, believe me, we are not alone. For the sacred or the God is not simply to be encountered within us, but is surely and certainly with us in our sacred fight for justice and peace and solidarity for all people. Blessed be and amen.